neither side has a claim to purity here. That those that are on the side of the Marxist are against the old morality and the traditions and what have you before liberalism, and those that are on the side of the capitalist, they're also on the wrong side. And that's pretty much what you just said. But the way that he put it in his piece was just it was just brilliantly put. Not that you didn't put it in a beautiful manner, but nope. But you're talking about the same thing. And I tell people in often when they give me a chance to speak, somebody said, "Well, that guy's a Marxist." And I said, "Oh, you mean he's a good participant in the heresy of Americanism?" "No, that's not what I said. I said he's a Marxist." I said, "This is what you don't understand, because you have never studied, and most people have never studied, any form of philosophy whatsoever. So they have nothing to base what's a Marxist. Well, to them, just bad guys that they don't agree with. Well, a Marxist at the end of the day is a materialist. Why? Because Marx said this is the critical error. And this is why the popes were horrified by this, justifiably so. Marx said there is no God. There is no God. There is no spirit world. There is only the physical world. There is only this world at this moment, right now. And that's why, to each according to his means, and from each according to his needs and means. That's what that means. You're only going to get what you can get right here and now. And so the distribution needs to be equitable. Folks, there is no other way to logically slice that other than to say that Marxism and communism at the end of the day are material. 100% material. There's no room for a soul. There's no room for sin. Now, you can break a law. It's not a sin. There is no room for eternity. There's no room for judgment outside of this earth. And there's certainly no room for God. That's why those 16 encyclicals were written by popes, because every single one of them knew that that error was there. And boy, howdy, that's what Our Lady meant when she said the errors of Russia are going to be repeated. That's how I take it, right?
Absolutely, yes. I mean, when you start thinking about the errors of Russia, what was the first error of Russia?
Divorce.
Split from Rome.
Well, yeah, okay, right.
I mean, that was the first error. What was the second error? She started permitting divorce. So the attack on the family, when you look at what cultural Marxism is, it's all about the degradation of the family. Cultural Marxism was started by Vladimir Lenin. He was the one that implemented liberal abortion laws and wanted to allow for no-fault divorce in Russia. It was an attack on the family from the very beginning. Now, what's fascinating about this, Karl Marx wasn't the originator of the communist thought.
Okay.
He was simply expressing what was already in existence from what were called They were independent socialist lodges all around Europe, specifically in Germany. He was approached by members of a secret society. They called themselves the Council of the Nine. And they said, "We want you to codify our belief system into a manifesto." And the belief system that was codified came straight from Freemasonry, because those lodges, those socialist lodges that were set up all over Europe, were Masonic lodges. Okay? So what Karl Marx did, he took Freemasonic philosophy and he codified it into a political system. And then when you start looking at the writings of Albert Pike, who was the head of Freemasonry in the United States, and his back-and-forth communications with Giuseppe Mazzini, who was the head of the Carbonari in Italy, their communications talked about the need for breaking down civil laws and civil authority, specifically the monarchies, which is also very interesting, because what happened after the manifesto, you saw a lot of revolutions all over Europe, overthrowing the monarchies of Europe. And they wanted to overthrow the monarchies to implement, they said they wanted to get rid of the Christian idea, the Christian laws regarding family property and church, and institute Masonic laws regarding family, property, and society, or civil marriages and that sort of thing.
But not church.
But not church.
Of course not.
Because their theological beliefs are radically different. They're Gnostics and deists. But, you know, when you look at the whole thing, and it all makes sense. It's all interconnected. You know, people are going to say, "Oh, you wild-eyed conspiracy theorist." No, there's no theory here. Everything that I just said is based on Karl Marx's own writings, and it's based on the public and readily available writings of the Freemasons from the 1800s. And all of this was given to Pope Leo XIII. He had a commission, or he commissioned several priests to write specifically about the documents that they were finding from Freemasonic institutions, and to codify it so that he could understand it, so that he could then issue his public condemnation of Freemasonry, which he did.